Order!
Order, order.
With Prime Minister John Key in New York to chair a special UN Security Council debate as part of the New Zealand initiative to end the five-year conflict in Syria, Parliament celebrated the International Day of Peace on Wednesday by passing this motion from Labour's spokesman for disarmament, David Cunliffe.
Mr. Speaker, I move that this House recognise and celebrate the International Day of Peace by acknowledging and working collectively to address the serious threats the international community faces in progress towards peace, including ongoing North Korean nuclear test, the appalling civil war in Syria, large-scale displacement of refugees, remodernisation of nuclear arsenals, and growing superpower tensions.
Mr. Cunliffe's motion was followed by this request from the Greens List MP, Catherine Delahunty.
I seek to move a motion without notice and without debate in support of the Women's Peace Boat to Gaza, including NZ MP Marama Davidson, to show solidarity and support to the Palestinian people.
Before putting that request to members, the Speaker, David Carter, heard from the Leader of the House, Gerry Brownlee.
Mr. Speaker, I make the point that for some time now, we have generally had an arrangement where WIPS officers contacted one another to indicate whether or not there would be support for leave. It doesn't look good if members move motions of this nature that are then declined. But there will often be good reasons why a government can't support some motions. And I think, Mr. Speaker, it would be timely for all parties to agree that the arrangements they had previously accepted through the Business Committee are followed, unless, of course, this week's breakdown of the Business Committee arrangements are to be permanent.
Without commenting on Mr. Brownlee's remark about a breakdown of arrangements in the Business Committee, which had last met the previous day, the Speaker agreed with his general argument.
I think the points that Mr. Brownlee makes is the Business Committee is a very important institution for the working of this Parliament. We have at times discussed the need for more cooperation and collaboration between WIPS, whether that's happened or not on this occasion. The member has every right to seek leave to move a motion without notice and without debate. So I will put the leave. Is there any objection to that course of action being followed? There is none.
And there was no vote against the motion, so after expressing their desire for peace on earth, including Syria, MPs proceeded to declare war on each other in the general debate, with Māori Party co-leader Te Ōrua Flavel firing the opening salvo.
2 weeks ago, Mr. Speaker, all parties in this House agreed at the Business Committee that five settlement bills will be brought to this House this Friday. Hold on, yeah. So what? They pulled the plug on it.
They being the New Zealand First Party, but the reason and timing of their decision to vote against specific parts of two of the settlement bills was overshadowed by the disappointment it had caused.
Over 400 people were coming to Wellington from the far north, coming from Taranaki, coming from Manawatu. Why? Because they wanted their day in the sun, Mr. Speaker. They've been waiting for Te Atiawa 30 years to come to this Parliament. I was there. I met the people. I know their pain.
Mr. Flavel's pain and disappointment were shared later in the general debate by several National MPs, including Stephen Joyce.
This week we have seen New Zealand First show the most contempt for the people of regional New Zealand by getting them to book tickets to come to the city to celebrate their treaty settlements. And Winston Peters has given them, Mr. Speaker, what is known up my way as a two-fingered salute.
Among National MPs queuing up behind Stephen Joyce to inflict maximum damage on New Zealand First was Hamilton East David Bennett.
The people that would have come here on Friday that have given years of their lives to see this, and that didn't actually happen because the New Zealand First Party deliberately destroyed that process. They deliberately destroyed it for their own gain.
And hard on the heels of David Bennett, National's Rangitata MP Joe Goodhue.
Think about how much it cost those 400 people to book their flights, to book their accommodation, but no, they do not care. The outrage from the Māori Party is absolutely as it should be on behalf of the people who will be missing out.
But they needn't have missed out because, as the New Zealand First Party's deputy leader Ron Mark explained, National had the numbers to extend the sitting into Friday and pass the bills.
If these bills were so important to the National Party, they would have had their full muster of MPs and ministers in the House for Thursday and Friday. They would have moved extended hours as they had planned. They would have had the debate, had the vote, passed the bills. And here's the fourth point. If they knew so many iwi were coming to attend those hearings, to attend the House, why did they not stick to their game plan and carry on? Well, we know why. Because the email trail proves it. They had all these leave applications and they wanted people to go off on leave. Well, that's not our issue. If the government finds the treaty settlement bill so important, then why isn't the entire government here to see them through and to join in the celebrations with iwi?
Mr. Mark then read the transcript of a phone conversation with the government's leader of the House, Jerry Brownlee.
Jerry Brownlee, that is. Hello, Ron. Ron Mark, that is. Jerry, how are you, man? Jerry Brownlee, good. Ron, I needed to call you immediately. We've just adjourned briefly from caucus. We've had a long discussion on two of those iwi bills, Taranaki iwi claim settlement and Ngāti Kahu ki Whangaroa. We are going to oppose both of those, Jerry. Jerry, thanks, Ron. And he hung up. No mention in my telephone at all of that statement that we withdrew our voice vote only proposal. Nothing, nick, nick, zipper, nada. That is a total untruth.
Ron Mark then issued the government with a challenge.
Declare urgency now. Declare extended hours now. Put those bills on the table Friday. We, New Zealand First, will be here in full muster. We don't care if all you guys are taking an early break and you've got your kids pulled out of school so you can start your holiday early. We don't care. We'll be here. We will cast our votes against the two bills we said we would, and we will give you a voice vote, the government, a voice vote on the other three, as I said we would in that telephone conversation. This is a disaster and a debacle of Jerry Brownlee's making. This is not our making. This is a debacle of the government's own making. This is an indication of their incompetence, their stupidity, and actually their disrespect to Māori, because they never had any intention of sitting here on Friday and seeing those bills through as a government in support of those iwi who they now claim they mourn for. Right. Give me a break, you most sincere, pathetic government. I just have no time for you, and nor does New Zealand First.
Adding to Ron Mark's insights into what goes on behind the scenes in this parliament, his leader, Winston Peters, quoted from a letter he said that National's chief whip, Tim McIndoe, had written to his colleagues on the business committee.
I imagine you are all receiving a large number of requests from your colleagues for leave on Friday, 23rd September, as I have been from mine. He asked whether or not there can be a reduction in the percentages and vote on the voice only. My colleague the next day sends a note and says, hi all, New Zealand First does not support this request for extra leave applications. It is all there. He's now caught out by his own words.
Mr. Peters claimed that National's whip had allowed too many of his party's MPs to make an early start on this two-week adjournment, which coincides with the school holidays.
The reason why we're not having it tomorrow is that he's given too much leave for his colleagues to be going on an early holiday. That's simple.
Winston Peters was speaking on Thursday morning when debate on the intermediate stages of the treaty settlement bills resumed in extra sitting time agreed in the business committee. The government did get four bills passed this week, three of them dealing with the electronic monitoring of offenders. Wednesday was a members' day, and the government lost more than an hour of chamber time on Tuesday when the Speaker accepted Labor's request for an urgent debate on the Ministry of Primary Industries' handling of illegal fish dumping. That was in the debating chamber. For the week in the committee rooms, here's Rhys Lyon.
On Thursday, the Foreign Affairs, Defence and Trade Committee met in the afternoon for consideration of the Paris Agreement on climate change. The international agreement was finalised last December. following negotiations between representatives of 195 countries, with New Zealand committing to reducing its greenhouse gas emissions to 30% below 2005 levels by 2030. The government says it plans to ratify the treaty by the end of the year and has in the meantime left it up to the Foreign Affairs, Defence and Trade Committee to hear submissions on it.
Generation Zero is a nationwide youth organisation with a mission of advancing New Zealand towards a zero carbon future. James and I have both actually had the privilege of being in Paris last year for COP21 when the Paris Agreement was formed.
Ms McLaren said Generation Zero supported ratification of the treaty.
Internationally, we're seeing a steady increase in the number of countries ratifying, and we think it's in New Zealand's best interest to do so as well. However, we believe that if New Zealand is serious about ratification, then we need to have a well-thought-out implementation strategy, and our proposed Zero Carbon Act is the ideal framework to provide structure for this. We are drafting the Zero Carbon Act based on the UK's 2008 Climate Change Act.
Ms McLaren's colleague, James Young-Drew, said that act being drafted by Generation Zero was in line with expectations of the Paris Agreement.
The Paris requirement to undertake adaptation planning will align with the Zero Carbon Act requirement to prepare and regularly report on a comprehensive adaptation plan to ensure New Zealand communities are kept safe from the effects of climate change.
Generation Zero's James Young-Drew with that submission on the Paris Agreement on climate change. Meanwhile, a day earlier, the chairman of the Foreign Affairs, Defence and Trade Committee, Mark Mitchell, appeared before the Social Services Committee as he presented it with a members' bill in his name. Mr Mitchell told the committee his stopping benefit payments for offenders who repeatedly failed to comply with community sentences bill aimed to do exactly as its title suggests.
If you don't actually live up to your part of the deal, if you don't engage in that responsibility that you have, then another pathway, another tool that we have to try and actually develop that sense of responsibility in you is to remove part or all of your benefit.
National's Mark Mitchell, and public submissions on that bill close next week. Also on Wednesday, the Government Administration Committee heard submissions on a bill completely overhauling laws governing the New Zealand Fire Service and heard from Professional Firefighters Union member Derek Best, who supported the aim of the bill but said it went too far.
Unfortunately, what I think's happened is what is a very simple three-step process to make progress. Somebody's decided to make dozens of other changes. I've managed to invent problems that don't exist and then provide solutions for them that won't work. They've actually taken things that work really well at the moment and decided to break them and do them differently. And it leads to what is really a seriously deficient and flawed piece of legislation.
Among Mr. Best's concerns with the bill were changes to the governance of the New Zealand Fire Service, which he suggested would result in bureaucratic interference in on-the-ground operations.
I have no idea how that's going to work. I mean, this is just so vague for a frontline key emergency service. What we're left with here is just very, very concerning, given that we're really trying to solve some very simple problems at the outset, which have been solved, but talking about using a sledgehammer to crack a nut, really.
Professional Firefighters Union member Derek Best with that submission on the Fire and Emergency New Zealand Bill, which is due to be reported back to the House by January the 5th. In total, there were 18 committee meetings held during the week.
That report from Rieslion. Back in the chamber, Kevin Haig, a Green List MP for just under 8 years, delivered his valedictory speech on Tuesday.
I leave here now to take on another really exciting challenge. I know that those who come after me in the Greens will bring new skills, knowledge and energy that I couldn't have contributed. But in leaving, I feel that I have done my best. I feel I've made things better. And I go with my integrity intact. I wish you all the very best. Ka mutu e noho rā.
Kevin Haig, whose seat will be taken by the next name off the Greens list, Barry Coates. Finally, here's the Deputy Leader of the House, Simon Bridges, with a quick look at what's up the government's sleeve when the House returns from this two-week adjournment.
When the House resumes on Tuesday, 11 October,
The government will look to complete the committee stages of a number of bills on the order paper and the third reading of what was formerly the Judicature Modernisation Bill, presently on the order paper as items 24 to 46, starting with the Senior Courts Bill.
Deputy Leader of the House, Simon Bridges. I'm Tom Frewin, and this programme was made with funding from Parliament.